Hello, and thank you for joining us for the TAA presentation, Contracts, Co-authors, and Other Mysteries, an interview with Rick Martini. Frederick Rick Martini, PhD, is the lead author of 10 undergraduate texts on anatomy and physiology. Currently affiliated with the University of Hawaii at Manoa, Martini has a longstanding bond with the Shoals Marine Laboratory, a joint venture between Cornell University and University of New Hampshire. He is a president emeritus of the Human Anatomy and Physiology Society. Today, I will be interviewing Rick on his experience of negotiating favorable contracts, finding and working with co-authors, and other issues related to textbook and academic publishing, authoring and publishing. You will have an opportunity to ask Rick some questions at the end of his presentation. All participants will be muted during this presentation. Please do not unmute yourself. To ask a question, please type it into the chat box on your screen. To find that chat box, you will run the cursor over the top. Part of your screen is a green band. When you run your cursor over that, you'll see a icon that says chat. When you click on that box, the chat box will open on your screen, and you can then type in that box to ask questions, and I will be reading those questions to Rick at the end of the call. So, hello, Rick. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this. It'll be an interesting process.
Well, thank you. So let's jump into the first question. You have been lead author of 10 textbooks, collectively 50 editions, revisions. Can you tell us about your approach to writing a textbook and how it has evolved over the years?
Well, when I was thinking about this question, I realized that it's had 30 years to evolve. So it really is a very different animal now than it was when I started. If you think back to 1983, 1984, I had just finished working on a nonfiction book that wasn't a textbook. And it had involved several drafts done with an IBM Selectric typewriter without a correction facility, and I swore as I started the textbook project that I was never going to go through that again. So I started working with an Osborne with a 5-inch screen, single-sided 5 1/4-inch floppy, and using my lecture notes, and worked from there. My resources were my collected notes, my notes from when I was a graduate TA, and my reference library that I had handy. That was my basis, and I was on an island in the middle of the Pacific, so it was a fairly isolated process. I got involved with it because I thought that there was a significant weakness in the texts that were available, and they weren't serving my students well. And I think that's really the only reason to get started into textbook publishing if you are thinking that it's going to be easy money or that there's going to be a quick return. That's not a very good idea. But if you're committed to something and you want to put the time in it, that's the way to go about it. So since that time in the early to mid 80s, everything has changed in terms of the process from working on an Osborne and a dot matrix printer when the publisher only did manual typewriters, Uniroyals, to a time when all the communications with the publisher are electronic. All the production process is electronic. I remember sitting on the floor with rolls of galleys and chopping them up and making dummies and all that stuff. All that's gone by the boards. And instead of having to rely on my own library, now I can go onto the internet. I can network with other instructors all over the country. I get the opportunity to travel to meetings and do face-to-face discussions and focus groups. There's the Human Anatomy and Physiology Society, which when I started writing a textbook in this field, that society didn't exist. And the publisher, as a result of all of the various predator-prey consumptions that have gone on in the publishing world, the surviving publishers have many more resources to devote to these books, and they take textbooks more seriously, and I think that's been a big help as well. All of these things have affected how I visualize and plan a new book, and how I project the time investment and the scripting. So,
thank you. Please explain some of the writing and/or research practices that you follow, and explain why those are helpful to your overall authoring process.
Well, when I'm doing a revision as opposed to a first edition, as soon as the book is published, as soon as I get my hands on a copy, I start annotating it. And by the end of the first year, which is realistically on a 3-year schedule when you have to start revising on your production schedule, the book's full of post-its and handwritten notes, and because my email is in the preface of all my books, I get emails from students and I get emails from faculty, and when I do travel on campus from time to time, people will buttonhole me about one thing or another, and all of those end up getting inserted into the book, so that when I actually start the revision process, I have a general idea of where the key places are that I need to take a closer look. And I can then go into the literature as needed if there are questions of fact, or I can think about re-scripting a presentation so that maybe it's clearer, because a student focus group or somebody said, I just don't get this part. So then I'll give it another try. In terms of keeping track of what's changing in the discipline, HAPS, Human Anatomy and Physiology Society, is a good place for me to monitor. In terms of the technical aspects, I belong to many different professional societies, and several of them have review journals that do updates on specific topics, and so I monitor those closely, and journals like Science and Nature. And my wife, who's an MD, she is on top of the clinically relevant aspects, so she monitors that literature and passes me notes as she encounters things that she thinks I might want to incorporate. So probably in terms of practical practices, I think the important thing for people thinking about doing textbook authoring is that you need substantial blocks of time. Because ideally, at any given point, you can hold the whole stream and flow of information in your book in your mind, either as you think it'll come out or as already exists. And you can make changes in the revision or do your initial writing with the whole thing in your mind, so that you don't break the flow at any point. If you don't have a large block of time, it's